Have you ever looked at a modern airliner and noticed that the basic shape hasn't really changed in 60 years? Swept wings, tube fuselage, engines slung underneath? We've refined it, absolutely. But the fundamental configuration? That's been locked in since the Boeing 707? I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. This week I want to talk about the airplane that might finally break that template, and it looks like nothing you've ever seen at a gate. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in your flying life. First solo, private pilot, instrument-rated CFI, the whole journey, beautifully crafted and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. All right, the airplane is called the X-66A. It's a joint project between NASA and Boeing under NASA's Sustainable Flight Demonstrator Program. And the thing that makes it extraordinary is the wing. It's called a transonic truss-braced wing, or TTBW. And when you see it, your first reaction is going to be, that can't possibly work. Let's break this down. Picture a conventional airliner wing. It's swept, it's relatively short compared to the fuselage, and it's thick enough to carry fuel, landing gear, and structural loads all by itself. That wing is a cantilever. It supports itself. The trade-off is that to be strong enough as a cantilever, it has to be thick and relatively short in span. And a thicker, shorter wing creates more drag. Now picture the X-66A, the wingspan is massive. We're talking about a span that's roughly 50% wider than a Boeing 737 MAX. But the wing is also ultra-thin, much thinner than any conventional airliner wing flying today. And underneath each wing, there's a diagonal strut running from about mid-span down to the bottom of the fuselage. That strut is the truss. It's carrying a huge portion of the bending load that the wing root would normally have to handle alone. Think of it like a bridge. A suspension bridge can span much farther than a simple beam bridge because the cables share the structural load. Same principle here. The strut braces the wing, which means the wing can be longer and thinner without folding up in flight, and a longer, thinner wing is aerodynamically superior in almost every way. Here's the number that matters. NASA's target is a 30% reduction in fuel consumption compared to the current, best-in-class, single-aisle airliner. 30%. For context, a typical generation-to-generation improvement in airliner efficiency is about 15 to 20%. And those gains usually come from a combination of better engines, lighter materials, and incremental aerodynamic tweaks. The X-66A is going for 30% from the airframe shape alone, before you even talk about next-generation engines. Now, here's what most people miss about why this approach has been sitting on the shelf for decades. The idea of bracing a wing with a strut is not new. Every Cessna 172 in the sky uses a wing strut. Biplanes used wire bracing. The concept is ancient, but there's a critical difference between a Cessna strut and what the X-66A is doing. Speed. At the transonic speeds an airliner flies, somewhere around Mach 0.78 to 0.82, airflow over surfaces gets complicated. You start getting pockets of supersonic flow, shock waves, and interference drag where the strut meets the wing and fuselage. At low speed, a strut is simple and elegant. At high speed, it becomes an aerodynamic nightmare. The breakthrough that makes the X-66A possible came from NASA wind tunnel testing and computational fluid dynamics work that figured out how to shape the strut junction and the wing strut intersection to minimize that interference drag. It took years, decades, really, going back to studies in the 2000s. The geometry is incredibly precise. Small changes in the fairing shape at the junction can swing the drag numbers dramatically. The demonstrator aircraft is actually a modified MD-90. Boeing took a late model MD-90 airframe and is mating it to the new truss-braced wing design. That's smart engineering. You don't need to build a whole new fuselage to test a wing concept. You bolt the new wing onto a proven tube and go fly. Now, where does the program stand as we look at the week ahead? Ground testing has been progressing, and the program has been working toward first flight. The X-66A has been in structural assembly and systems integration. We're watching for updates on the flight test timeline. NASA originally targeted first flight for the mid-2020s timeframe, and we're right in that window now. Any update this week or in the coming weeks about taxi tests, engine runs, or a first flight date would be significant because this is one of the most consequential aeronautics research programs NASA has run in a generation. Let me talk about what a pilot would actually experience if this wing configuration makes it to a production airliner someday. The ultra-high aspect ratio wing changes handling characteristics. The roll rate will be different. The wing is so long that some configurations might require folding wingtips just to fit at airport gates. Boeing actually patented folding wingtip mechanisms for the 777X. And the same issue applies here, maybe even more so. The ride quality could actually improve. A longer, more flexible wing acts as a better gust absorber. Think about sailplanes. They have extremely long, thin wings, and they tend to ride through turbulence more smoothly than short-winged airplanes. Same physics applies, but that flexibility also means the wing moves more. Passengers looking out the window might see significantly more wing deflection in turbulence. Whether that bothers people or not is a design psychology question, not an engineering one. The wing is designed for it. It's supposed to flex. From an airline operations perspective, the 30% fuel burn reduction is game-changing math. Jet fuel is typically the largest single operating cost for an airline. Cutting it by nearly a third means routes that are marginally profitable today become solidly profitable. It means range extends. It means the environmental pressure that regulators are applying through carbon mandates and sustainable aviation fuel requirements becomes easier to meet. You're burning less fuel, so you need less SAF to hit the same percentage targets. But let me be honest about the challenges. The data tells an interesting story, but the story isn't finished. Wind tunnel results and CFD simulations are promising, but transonic aerodynamics is notoriously difficult to predict perfectly. Until the X-66A actually flies at representative speeds and altitudes, there's uncertainty. The strut junction aerodynamics at Mach 0.8 in real atmospheric conditions with real turbulence, real ice accretion, real manufacturing tolerances, that's the test that matters. There's also the certification question. If Boeing or any manufacturer brings a truss-braced wing airliner to market, the certification basis gets complicated. The FAA's structural certification standards for transport category aircraft were written around the cantilever wing concept, the load paths, the flutter analysis, the fatigue and damage tolerance requirements. All of that has to be rethought for a braced wing. It's not impossible. The FAA has certified strut-braced wings on smaller aircraft for a century. But scaling that to a transport category airplane at transonic speeds is new regulatory territory. Flutter is a particular concern. Flutter is the aerodynamic structural coupling where the wing starts oscillating, and the oscillations feed on themselves. Longer, thinner wings are inherently more susceptible to flutter. The strut changes the flutter characteristics in complex ways. It can actually help by constraining certain modes, but it can also introduce new modes that don't exist on a cantilever wing. The flutter testing program for this airplane will be one of the most closely watched aspects of the entire flight test campaign. Manufacturing is another question. An ultra-thin wing is harder to build. There's less internal volume for fuel tanks, structural members, and systems. The wing box has to carry the same loads in a thinner package. That drives you toward advanced composite materials and manufacturing techniques that are more expensive. Whether the fuel savings over the life of the airplane offset the higher acquisition cost is the economic equation that will determine if this ever gets built as a production airplane. Here's why I'm watching this program closely this week and every week. The X-66A is not a concept. It's not a rendering. It's not a startup with a pitch deck. It's hardware being built in a factory with NASA money and Boeing engineering. The demonstrator exists, and if the flight test data confirms the aerodynamic predictions, it could set the direction for the next generation of single-aisle airliners. That's the 737 and A320 replacement class. The most produced, most flown commercial airplanes on the planet. The timeline for a production airplane, if everything works, would be the mid to late 2030s at the earliest. That's a long time, but that's how airliner development works. The decisions being made right now, the test data being gathered this year and next year, those are the inputs that will determine what you're boarding in 2038. And this is the thing that excites me as an engineer. We've been optimizing the same basic airplane shape for six decades. We've squeezed a few percent here, a few percent there. Better winglets, smoother surfaces, lighter seats. But the truss-braced wing is a step change. It's not a tweak. It's a fundamentally different structural philosophy. And it has the potential to deliver the kind of efficiency gain that the industry desperately needs to meet its environmental targets without waiting for some magical battery breakthrough that may or may not come. So that's your week ahead watch item in aviation tech. The X-66, a sustainable flight demonstrator. Keep an eye on NASA's aeronautics updates and Boeing's test program communications. When this airplane lifts off for the first time, It's going to be one of the most important first flights in commercial aviation research in decades. Most of what I pulled together today comes from NASA's Sustainable Flight Demonstrator Program page and Boeing's published technical briefings on the TTBW configuration. You can find more at RadioHangar.com. I'm Vector. Sometimes the biggest breakthroughs don't come from a new engine or a new material. Sometimes they come from looking at a shape everyone agreed was settled and asking, what if it's not? See you next time.